that goes by too fast. And I like closure. I've always liked, I like Monday because it's the start of the week. And then you end the week. And then December 31st ends the year. And I don't know what you did New Year's Eve, but I do what I normally do, and that's cleaning out files and getting rid of the stuff from the last year, and so I can start all over the next year. That's my kind of fun. Sick, but it is. But, another year, a new beginning, a fresh start, and we hear that statement, and it's so true. We don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. I enjoyed the homework lesson. Maybe a lot of you did not do that homework lesson. I encourage you, if you don't have it, to grab it and to do it. It's not too late. It's still the beginning of the year, because it was a good reminder for us to take time to reflect on this past year. It's always good at the end of the year to just sit back and think about what the Lord did, because we are so busy and so much in a hurry, and life just happens and goes on, that we don't take time to stop and smell the roses, and we don't take time to stop and reflect on the Lord and His faithfulness and His goodness. So at least with that homework lesson, it's written out and telling you to do that. And I enjoy, and I'm speaking because I am one of those people that just, I don't do that. So it was so nice to sit and to reflect upon His goodness and His blessings and all those things that He did and that He spoke. And then He taught me, and the lessons that I learned and that I'm still learning and have to learn over and over again. And as I sat there, and I did this Saturday morning, which was the first, yeah. And I was all alone, and it was just so nice to get up, and, it was really cold, and to have my hot cup of tea, and to sit in my chair with my Bible, and just to start thinking back upon last year. And when I did that, I went back a little further than that. I don't know why. I guess the Lord just took me back. But I went back 30 years, because next month will be my 30-year birthday of meeting the Lord. And 30 years, that's a long time to walk with the Lord and to learn and to grow and to go through things and just to grow just as a person, and then in your relationship with the Lord and all of that. And so I stopped and I thought about, and occasionally I do this. I don't recommend doing it very often or for any length of time, but you just think about where you would be today, 30 years. If 30 years ago the Lord had not come into my life, where I would be today. That it was scary. I don't, what kind of a woman would I be? What kind of a mother would I be? What kind of a wife? What kind of a friend? Oh, I we each have a sin nature, and I've got a big one. And that sin nature, it produces all kinds of horrible traits. And so as I reflected on that 30 years of walking with the Lord, unfortunately, my personality that I fight against, because I always look at everything, the glass is half empty. So I tend to always look at the negative first. I don't stay there. I always end with the positives, which is maybe better than ending on the negative. But I always tend to look at, 30 years, of all this that I've gone through. And it has not been easy. It's not easy walking with the Lord. But it's worse. Oh, you can't even compare it. I mean, again, what would it have been like for 30 years? What would I have gone through? Who would I have held on to? It's not, you're not going to look back. We're not going to look back and think, oh, well, I would have escaped all of this. No. It would have been multiplied had we not been in the protection of the Lord. Disaster. But it has not been easy. And it hasn't been easy because for the first 21 years of my life, I didn't know the Lord. And so I had 21 years of doing things my own way. And I had 21 years of living the world's way and having all of the world's opinions and philosophies and people that I know, family members, people that, you know, that are influence you, your teachers, your friends, you know, people that are, I mean, anybody influences, everybody influences everybody. But if you're not in a Christian environment, then it's all going to be worldly. So 21 years, I'm speaking for all of us because I'm not the only one, obviously. But 21 years those habits just, and those, the opinions and the way that you think and process and all that very deep rooted. And they formed my thinking. They formed my character. So then when the Lord came into my life 30 years ago, He has to reform all of that. And so that's why it's hard. Because He's digging really deep in there. Because a lot of these things are very deep-rooted. And He has to get in there and pull them out. And He doesn't just, you know, take this big, whatever that thing that's called, that, you know, goes down there and just yanks it all out. No, because He's merciful. And He's gracious. And He's long-suffering. And He knows what He's doing. And so little by little, He allows those, as Paul put it, those light afflictions, those trials, those times of refining into my life, into your life, so that He can reshape, so that He can reform, so that He can, remove those attitudes and remove those wrong concepts and opinions and all those things that were just ingrained in there. Little by little, He just, and there, it's always by hard things. I mean, we learn by reading and being around people and all that, but it's, at least in my life, it's through the hard things that He gets in and then gets to reshape and reform and yank out all of those habits and all those kind of things. And then He, for the 30 years, He replaces them. He transforms. He conforms me into His image. And I've got a long way to go. There was a song we used to sing. I love it. And the words are, the more that I know, the more I know that I don't know. The more that I see, the more I see the need in me. The harder I try, the more I know it's You, Lord, and not I. But the more that you know, the longer you walk with the Lord, the more you know, you don't know. I mean, I used to think I know stuff. I don't know anything. Nothing. I just don't know. I don't know. And then you try, and it's like, you know what? It is Him. It has to be Him. There is, in me dwells no good thing. And it is Him. So year after year, He replaces all of that stuff with His word and His truth and His mercy and His love and His grace. Now, in the homework, it asks us to reflect upon this past year and what He's taught us and His faithfulness and all of that. And then also it's encouraged us to maybe to look ahead to this year. And to seek the Lord for a verse for the year. And if you've been here for any length of time, you've heard me say this a million times. But to say, Lord, what do You want to speak to me? What do You want to do in my life this year? You know, we don't know. We don't know. So I have made a habit of that over the years. To ask the Lord. And then what I typically have done is I will mark, you know, write the verse out on a, like a, you know, a little index card, put it on the fridge or something. And then for the whole year. And, you know, sometimes you just forget about it. And then he brings it to your remembrance. And then he starts working in your life and all that. So I went through my collection. And I just want to share quickly. I want to share these verses that the Lord has given me. I guess when I started writing them down was 1990. That was Proverbs 3, where trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. And in doing this, I can, not that I can go back to 1990 and remember exactly what that was all about and what he did, but you can remember little bits and pieces. And then you realize who you were then and who you are now. And, oh, I have grown. Oh, you have worked. Oh, it's encouraging. 1992, show me your ways and teach me your paths. And that's one of my daily prayers for myself and for my family. 1993, that was a toughie. That was in Habakkuk 3. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail and the fields yield no food, though the flock be cut off from the fold and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high hills. I remember specifically when the Lord gave me that verse, I had a friend who read it and she said, oh, what did you think when the Lord gave you a verse like that? So, you know, I am really focusing on, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. The Lord God, I am not looking at the first part of the verse. That can happen and he can do that, but I can keep my eyes on the end of that verse. 94 and 95, the Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hands. 96, whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. And then in 97, give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food you prescribe for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. 98. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will... brings back some things. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. 99. This is an interesting one. That you increase more and more, that you aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business and to work with your own hands as we command you, that you may walk properly toward those who are outside and that you may lack nothing. In other words, don't take this wrong because I took it right. Karen, just shut up and be quiet before the Lord and mind your own business this year, will you? And just listen to me and do what I don't know. Does he speak to you that way? I don't know. Maybe that's what I need. In 2000, cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. 2001, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise him. And then I call it my coma years. Oh, wait a minute. Not yet. I have a 2002. I have this is out of Exodus. I have surely seen the oppression of my people. I have heard their cry. I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them. And then I went into my coma for 6 years. And I don't have any verses from them because I didn't have a verse because I was not altogether here. 2009, though. And this was before I came out of my coma. He restores my soul and he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Praise him for that. And I kept that verse for last year too, because I needed a lot of restoring in my soul. And so it was so good. And I hope that you took time or that you take time to sit down and to think of all that the Lord has done. And, you know, for me, you know, my mind went so many different places. My conversation went so many different places with the Lord. Oh, Lord, I remember that. And that was so hard. But look what you did. Look at how you sustained me. You upheld me. You got me through that. You are faithful. You will always be faithful. And so those things that he has taught me, not just this last year, but over the 30 years, and he teaches us basically the same things, the same truths over and over and over again. He has taught me that he is good and he only does good. And I believe that and I stand on that. Through 30 years of looking back and the trials and tribulations, not just in my life, but in the people that I love. And you see people come and go and the hard things. He is good and he only does good. And that he loves me in spite of who I am. Nothing I can do can change that. And I stand on that and I do not doubt his love for me. And you shouldn't doubt his love for you. God is love. It is who he is. He can't not love. So he loves you. He's created you. He created me. And with this sin nature and all of these attitudes and these things that are inside of us. And he loves and he loves and he loves and it doesn't change. It doesn't change. He loves. Don't you just love that? You're so secure in that. Oh, and that I have learned that he is there, ever present. He never leaves me, ever. When I can't feel him, I know he is there. He is always with me. When I don't see him, when I don't get it, and I don't understand, he is there, always right beside me. I am never, ever alone. That he is my rock and my refuge. Oh, he's that hiding place. He's that stone that I run to and hide in the cleft of the rock. My strong tower, that place of refuge. And he is faithful. He has never, ever failed me, ever. He's never been late, ever. He's made me wait, but he has never been late. He is faithful, faithful, faithful. And his word is true, and his promises are true. Every single one of them. So every single one of them that he has spoken to me that I've seen come to pass, I know it's true and faithful, but those that he's spoken to me that they don't even look like they're close yet, he will be faithful to them. He will be faithful to them. If you have your Bible, just turn really quickly to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all the things, yes, the deep things of God. And this passage, it's saying, you know, we probably learn more from our eye, from the eye gate in life than any other way, because we're always looking and we learn visually. We learn by what we see. And through the ear gate, listen, you're hearing so many different conversations. You're watching, you're listening, you gain wisdom by listening. And then we also learn by our heart or our reasoning, our thinking, our, you know, kind of logic, kind of putting it all together. But these verses are saying that there are so many things that we can't see. We just cannot see with the human eye. And there are things that we cannot learn by hearing audio. You know, we can't hear them. And there are things that we cannot be attained by reasoning or by human means. The things that God has prepared for them who love Him are not gotten through the eye gate, through the ear gate, or by reasoning. But God, He has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. It's His Holy Spirit that brings light, brings revelation, that gives us the wisdom, that opens our eyes to see spiritual things, our ears to hear, and that He just does in our hearts. There's no other way that we can learn them. We can't, you know, I mean, you can be a scholar, but unless the Spirit of God gives revelation into the heart of a man, we're not going to learn, we're not going to grow. But He does. He does. So if I'm going to learn anything spiritually, anything about God, He must show me. He must open my eyes, my understanding, my heart, and by His Spirit, minister to my spirit. And inside, it's like somehow you just know. You just know. How do I know that? I don't know. He taught me. He has shown me by His grace, by His supply of the Holy Spirit to each one of us. He shows us. Jeremiah 33:3, He says, "Call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know." That's God speaking, that He will, you call to Him, He's going to show you great and mighty things that you don't know. But you will know because His Holy Spirit will minister that to you. So what should we expect this year? This year, it's going to hold so many experiences for each one of us, and you can interpret that any way you want. It's going to be quite a ride in what goes in and out of our lives. Wow. But through it all, He will show us great and mighty things. He will teach us. We can be sure of that. Just a couple of things that I know He will show us, each one of us. He will show us His goodness. He will. Psalm 119:68 says, "You are good and do good." And I like that. God is good and He does good. He only does good. So this year in your life, He will only do good. You can expect that. He will do good. And He will show us His faithfulness. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. "Faithful is He who calls you, who will also do it." His faithfulness, He will be faithful to you, to His word, to His promises. He will be faithful to you. So whatever's already started this year, whatever's going on in your life, or whatever might go on that we don't know about yet, He will be faithful. That is who He is. He cannot deny Himself. He cannot be unfaithful. He is faithful. He will be faithful to you. He will be faithful to me. The other thing He wants us to know and that He will show us is that He is for us. Romans 8:31. "If God is for us, who can be against us?" He is for you. Psalm 118:6. "The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" The Lord's on your side. He's for you. Isn't that great? That's what you can expect this year. That He's for you. And that He will be faithful. And that He will be good. and that you have a future. You don't know what's going to happen, but we know He knows what is going to happen, and we know that He's good, and He only does good, and that He's faithful, and that He's for you. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, and they're thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. A future and a hope. So whatever you're in the middle of already, maybe it's still dragging on from last year, maybe it was something new this year already, there's future and a hope. There is light at the end of the tunnel. This isn't the way it's going to be forever. He's faithful. He's good. He will show us His mercy, His love, His grace. There are so many things that He is going to do this year in each one of our lives. And we're going to have that verse. So next year, when we come back, we can say, yes, this is all that He did. Now, you were given a little gift when you walked in the door, a little journal. He has shown me with these verses out of 1 Corinthians. And a little bookmark there to help you to start thinking about those things that you can jot down in your journal. A lot of people are not journal people. I am not a journal person. I need to discipline myself to be more of a journal person. But even for me who pulled out my little scripture cards, at least, you know, I wrote those down. And it just triggers all those memories. So I encourage you and exhort myself to start journaling. Use that journal. You can use it whatever way you want. But use it in what has He shown you already? It's, what is it, the fifth today? We've had 5 days. What's He shown you already? Jot it down so that you don't forget, because we do tend to forget. All those things that He showed you, or go back 30 years, whatever, however you want to do it. Write down what He has shown you, what you've learned, how faithful He has been to you. And then pick it up when you're in a trial so you can remember, oh, that's right, I got through that. He got me through that. He gave me this promise. I forgot about that. Oh, that's right. And then also that we can leave that journal as a legacy. Pass it on to kids, grandkids, so that they know how faithful He has been in your life. So isn't He good? And no matter what you are in the midst of, and I know I already talked to a few of you who weren't having such a great day, He's good. He's faithful. He loves. He has great things in store for us. And let's just praise Him and thank Him for that. Lord, we do, each one of us right now. We just praise You and thank You. You sustain us. You hold us in Your arms, in Your hand. You hide us in that secret place. You're for us. You're with us. Faithful and true. Thank You for being our God. Thank You for the blessings that are ours. The peace. Peace in the midst of a storm. Peace in the face of death. It's priceless. Thank You, Lord. And the joys of just walking with You. And just as we sang that song, Lord, over the mountains and the sea, you're just wonderful. And we praise You and worship You. And Lord, I pray that You would, by Your Holy Spirit, work in our hearts. And as we call out to You, that You would show us great and mighty things. Help us to be mindful, Lord. Help us to remember. And then help us to proclaim Your wonderful works so that we can encourage others.
Lord, I pray that you would bless each one of my sisters. You'd be the lifter of their head. That you would restore their soul. And that you would crown this year with goodness in their lives. And now go before each one, Lord, as they go into their discussion groups. And I pray that it would be an edifying time to each other and one that would honor you, Lord, as they share all that you have done and as they encourage one another. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. And next week we will be back in Philippians.